Hi, I'm Alan, and I'm here to tell you about furball. Furball came into our lives when I was about 10 years old as a little ball of white and gray fluff sitting on my sister's lap on her 8th birthday. It was a surprise present for my sister from my mother to get her a little puppy dog. It was also a surprise to the rest of the family. My mother was notorious for those kind of lovely little surprises, bringing home animals no one would expect. And this was one such occasion. So I went downstairs and saw that we had a dog all of a sudden. I was like, well, that's cute. But there was another surprise. And that the next 3 months, seemingly overnight, though, Furball went from a tiny little ball of white and gray fluff to a pony-sized, husky-esque mutt that traipsed about the house and, you know, left a big footprint wherever she went, let's just say. But we loved her. We grew to love her very quickly. She had a ton of energy. She was a great dog for a 10-year-old kid to have around the house. She was a barrel of laughs. We'd play. We'd run in the park. She'd catch sticks. She'd come back. She'd never tire of fetching, playing in the water, running through paths. We would hike with her, but she'd just run ahead and wait for us at the end. All of those kind of things that a very energetic dog does. But this effervescence came with a downside, and that's that Furball had, like, I guess you could say, a voracious appetite. Count how many vocabulary words the English teacher messes up in the speech. That's one. One so far. So, voracious appetite, and kind of had to consume everything in her path. It started with inanimate objects. All my stuffed animals were torn to shreds, my beloved childhood toys rent asunder within a mere matter of weeks from acquiring Furball. Then she turned her attention to other household items, pictures, video game cassettes, Christmas trees. There's one that the whole tree was just dragged down by the tinsel. And then even the house itself. We accidentally locked her in the bathroom once, and she tore through this bathroom door, this wooden door, to get out. And she did. It was insane. Now, the door still has a big hole in it. So she couldn't be stopped. And when she'd eaten her way through the house, she turned her attention to our other pets. We had a bunch of other pets. We were a household that had about 6 or 7 pets going on at a time, and they ranged. We had dogs, we had cats, we had hamsters, we had rabbits, we had birds, we had fish, we had turtles, and at one point my mom surprised us by bringing home several ducks, which proceeded to inbreed for years and years and years. We still have some of these inbreeding ducks at the house. So there were a lot of pets to choose from. The queen of this ensemble was Susu, a yellow mutt with a sort of unassuming personality and a cauliflower ear that was messed up in an accident. And she would hide from Furball in a particular way. She had the ability to camouflage because we had a yellow couch that was about the same color as Susu, that kind of mustard yellow you could only find in like the late 70s and early 80s yellow. And she would hide on the couch. She would back herself right up to the back of the couch, between the cushion and the back of the couch. And as if the color similarity wasn't enough, she would sink herself down into the couch, so you couldn't really see anything. And then, you know, sometimes we would come along and sit on the couch, and we'd hear this whimper kind of sound. Susu didn't bark, she whinnied, more or less. And we'd just look back, and you'd see just a paw and a cauliflower ear protruding from the couch. And you'd be, I'm sorry, Susu, we sat on you, I didn't realize you were there. But then if you tried to move her, she would be intractable. And so you'd find somewhere else to sit. But so Susu could hide from Furball. But other pets weren't so fortunate. We had a couple parakeets that we had, a little green one, a little yellow one. And they were, one time they got out of their cage and they were zipping around the house and we're trying to catch them. We've got blankets and boxes and nets and we're trying to catch the parakeets. And I'm just looking at the yellow one. It's in my line of sight. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get it. I'm like, ready. I'm going to jump for it. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, something grabbed out of the air. And I look, what's it? It's Furball. She's down there. And she just got this look on her face like, what, that was for me, right? That was the new flying dog food you bought me. And there were no feathers, there was no blood, no Polly want a cracker, nothing. Just just a gone, just an, you know, to quote Monty Python, an ex-parrot. It was like it never existed. So that was one. And then we had a rabbit named Bon Bon, who we probably shouldn't have named after a confection, because that was foreshadowing. So we tried to keep Bon Bon safe in the basement, and Furball burst through the gate into the basement, found Bon Bon. Unfortunately, it takes a little more to dismember a rabbit than it does a parakeet. So my mother wouldn't let us down in the basement, said, "Don't come down here. It's you can't see this." So we were spared the carnage of Bon Bon. And then since Furball had made her, you know, path of destruction through the house, she had to look elsewhere. So she became a gate jumper. She jumped over the gate, would run around the neighborhood, and we'd have to run around trying to catch her, even just wait for her to come back sometimes, and of course she would. And one such night, she did that, and she came back, and she didn't quite seem herself. We put her in her, we have the crate training thing, which some of the dog experts on stage might admonish me for later, but we crate trained our dogs. We put her in a crate, and the next morning when I woke up, I saw my whole family gathered around, and they seemed very upset, and Furball had passed away during the night. And it turned out, on further diagnosis, that she had drank antifreeze out there in the world somewhere that she thought was water, I guess. And my stepdad was in tears, everyone was in tears, and I sort of was, you know, inclined to start crying too. And then I was like, wait a minute, this dog ripped through our lives. It destroyed everything in the house, toys, doors, other animals, and you're all so upset. I mean, this is sort of a blessing in disguise, but then I got it. You know, I realized that, you know, we don't get pets because, you know, we shouldn't get pets, I don't think, because we want some sort of calm, quiet companion. I mean, especially not dogs. Dogs bring the wild into your house. They're animals. They bring the wild into there. But they do something else, and this will be touched on throughout the night, I'm sure, as a theme, but they bring unconditional love. And so when something loves you unconditionally, I mean, is it too much to ask that, you know, you love it unconditionally back, even when those conditions include the destruction of most of the things that you've worked for your entire life, or, you know, maybe occasionally, you know, other living things? Is that too much to ask? So, you know, in the end, while I've thought for years, oh, I'll never get a dog, right now I have a cat. She's described in the program. Pepper, I'm going to give her a little shout out. She's in Highland Town right now. She couldn't make it. Right now I'm a cat person, but before too long, I'm sure I'll get another dog, and if I'm lucky, it'll be another Furball. Thank you. Thank you.